home, who's head of the household, Regina, his wife, and they had a little child called Francisco, 4 years old. And Pedro would work out cultivating sugar cane and beans for someone else. And but this part of Guatemala has a dry season, and that's when Pedro hasn't got a job. In fact, things have got worse in recent years due to global warming. The drought is longer, and people are really feeling it very badly. That's why many migrate, so as not to die of hunger. But in the case of this family, as time goes by during the dry season, little Francisco one day approaches his mom and says, "Mom, I'm hungry." And Regina looks down at him with a very tender look, but also a lot of pain in her heart. And she says, "I'm sorry, son, today we haven't got food." Could you imagine how painful that must have been for the mother to say that to her child? In fact, I think she felt more pain than Francisco felt the pangs in his stomach. You who are moms can understand what I mean, huh? Because this is the fruit of your life. And Francisco was such a wonderful little kid. And you can imagine how bad Pedro must feel not being able to provide for his family. Anyway, as time goes by, Francisco's getting weak. He's getting sick frequently. And Regina, with all reason, thinks that Francisco might well die of her. Once in a while, luckily, she gets some cornmeal. She'll quicker make a tortilla, puts a little bit of lemon and salt on it to give it some flavor, and like that, things go by. And luckily, she hears about this nutritional center that's run by Food for the Poor in the area. She takes Francisco over there quickly and notices other parents bringing their kids, which is surprised to see so many. And thanks to that nutritional center, Francisco's life, along with other children, his life is saved. And you know, that's thanks to generous people like yourself who partner with Food for the Poor so that we can reach out to these starving people and children like Francisco. You're the ones who are actually saving lives. It's thanks to your generosity that lives will be saved. You know, Food for the Poor feeds approximately 2 million people every day. 2 million people, that's a lot of mouths. And it's a drop in the ocean, but as Saint Mother Teresa says, her policy always was one by one. You help one person, that's the important thing. And when you do that, slowly things start multiplying, people start helping you, and your example extends. Just like Mother Teresa got a whole army of people behind her to reach out to those most in need. It's all about love and mercy. And love and mercy, generosity are contagious. And we all know that when there's a disaster, for instance, how people come together, that's a beautiful example of bringing out the best of people to help people when they're in need. No? It becomes harder when we don't see these things happening. You realize there are 36 million people who die every year. 36 million. And that's six times more than those who died in the Holocaust. But on a yearly basis, we don't see that, but it's happening. Yeah, we hear about those who are dying from the coronavirus and other disasters, but who's aware that 36 million people are dying of hunger every year? There are 1 billion people who are going hungry every year. That's one in every six people. So that shows there's an imbalance there in society. There should be a better organization than the economic system, so at least everyone gets their basic needs met, right? And there's always going to be some differences, eh? But it's a tragic and terrible and actually criminal. basic needs met. This is not a privilege. It's a human right, right, for everyone to have their basic needs. How do we see the sinful situation reflected in the readings of today? Well, we see first the story of Adam and Eve, the story of our ancestors, and how they take charge of the tree of, not of apple or grapefruit or whatever, but the tree of good and evil. So basically what it means taking from that tree, this is a symbolic action, is that it takes possession to decide what is good and what is bad, independently of God. So if God says, do this, and I say, well, I don't want to do that, I'm going to do this other thing, which God considers bad. So that's the problem. And God has made laws for everything in nature, like the law of gravity. If we hold something like that and it drops because of the law of gravity. There are laws for the human being also, which God has planted in our hearts. If we go against them, we destroy ourselves. So that was the sin of Adam and Eve. It's the sin of pride. Pride is the worst of sins because from there everything collapses. And the relationships get broken. And that's what death is. The second reading speaks about through sin, death enter the world. It's not so much about physical death, it's internal death, spiritual death. Our relationships get broken. You know, our death sets in when we die, for instance, when the cell starts splitting up. That's death. And everything disintegrates. In the same way, if we break our relationship with God, we didn't see in the reading today, it follows that because of sin, Adam and Eve, when God comes, they hide themselves. They're frightened of God. We shouldn't be frightened of God. We should be frightened of sin, yeah. Not of God. God loves us. But as a consequence of sin, we get an image of God, a punisher. Fearful image of God. So that's one relationship that gets broken. And then when God asks Adam, why did you do this? Eve told me to eat. Relationship between those two break down. And then they ask Eve, now why did you do it? Oh, the serpent gave it to me. Which basically is a relationship between the world around us that gets severed also. And we're connected with the world. In fact, we are, everything in us is connected with the planet. The common home, as Pope Francis says. We got water inside us, we got minerals, everything in us has an animal aspect and a plant, a vegetarian aspect, our heart beats on a dough, that's a vegetarian aspect, etc. So we're very connected. But through sin, we can sever. And that's why our planet's in danger of survival, because instead of using correctly of things, we've been abusing of things. And we're in big trouble because of that. It's not just about the air and the temperature. It's about polluting the seas and the water. As an old saying of the Native American says that when we have fished the last fish and cut down the last tree and destroyed the last forest, the tree, we would realize that we cannot eat money. The wise saying, no? Money's a medium, and that corresponds to the sins that, let's say, temptation of Jesus in the desert. Jesus is actually taking up from the Genesis that first sin of reaching out and eating from the tree. So he's tempted to turn those stones into bread. And basically what the thing is, it's one of preferring the worldly things and realize that we're supposed to listen to God and follow God first of all. To be obedient means listen and allow God to work through us. In fact, he's carried on his creation in us. We haven't been completed to be created. We haven't been developed fully into our full potential. That's an ongoing process. For that, we have to be open to God, listen to God, and fundamentally, we do that through prayer. See, prayer is one of the disciplines of Lent to help us be more a listener and listening to God and loving Him and adoring Him. That's that link which develops through a humble prayer, not a proudful prayer. So that's one area. Then Jesus gets tempted to throw Himself down from the temple, right? The peak of the temple. It's one of, hey, look at me. Narcissism. And so it's about putting me first. It's about selfishness of being self-centered. So we've got to work on that also. How do we kill that? Reaching out to others. Charity. Generosity. Come out of yourself. Don't get closed in seed, so to say. Come out of yourself like a plant that comes out of the seed. And then we got that other temptation where Jesus is offered all the kingdoms of the world. And guess what? That's sinner avarice. One of hoarding everything for me. Possession, wealth, all for me. And never being content. And that's the reason why we have so many people hungry, so many people deprived of what they basically needed, because of that avarice that exists in society. So we've got to cure that. And how do we help ourselves with that? That we do that through penance, right? So the important thing is we don't become enslaved by things. So then we look for a thing of doing that, ridding ourselves with those things that we tend to cling to, including money. But then maybe a bunch of other things like television, it could be certain foods, whatever. So the discipline of limiting, or let's say depriving ourselves of Lent, it means that we can afterwards, after Lent, relate to those things in a free way. That we're using these things but not being enslaved to them. That's the basic idea. So these are a few ideas. I mean, the Lenten practices of prayer, of generosity, and penance, they're all very important. They're all about our relationships, curing our relationships with God, with one another, and ourselves, and with the family we live on. So that we want to restore those relationships, and that's the discipline of Lent. And it's nice to combine the three. Taking example, I'm going to be generous. Maybe I'm making a sacrifice to be generous, maybe depriving myself of something in order to give to others, and also pray for those people. So then we combine the three disciplines together. And that's what I'm inviting you to do now, an opportunity through Food for the Poor. So you have the opportunity to reach out to the poorest of the poor, either through food or other ways. And if you take up the brochure on your bench and open it up, you can see a bunch of ways you can help others in here. Like basically for $50, we can feed roughly 500 kids, no? That's a lot of kids, a lot of mouths. It's basically $10 per kid. Then there's an example given by the little, pigs, three little pigs. That means also the food. If we had a goat, for instance, a goat would provide milk and cheese. So it's not only food for today, which can be done for $90. And for 20 chicks, that means future eggs as well as meat. So for $30 we can provide 20 chicks, etc. So these are a few examples of what we can do. And how can we help? Also we've got other things like water. A lot of people have problems with water. They have to walk for miles and miles just to get it. It's not always purified. So Food for the Poor does purify water, as well as providing a water pump, which we can do for $285. So these are just a few things we can do, providing houses also. So So let's see how in practice we can do this. Basically, you notice where that yellow line is, that's where the envelope divides from the brochure. And so basically, there are various ways you can do this. You can do it through a check written out for food for the poor. You can use a credit card, writing your data there. And also, you can use cash. Cash is something, though, you don't want to send by mail. May go astray. So how do we solve that problem? Basically, put your cash in there, seal the envelope, put your name and address if you can, and then hand it to me after Mass, and I will get it to headquarters in a safe way. So if you have your checkbook here, just don't put your checkbook in here. Put the check. Or your credit card, don't put your credit card. If you have any of those here, you can fill it out and hand it to me. It does say food for the poor stamp, because this is already paid for by food for the poor. So as I said, that's the way. Now there is another way, which is by using, let's say, texting.
It's on the back of the envelope.
I had a difficulty with this yesterday, finding you text through kindness, you text.
It's on the back of the envelope, inside. Yeah, it's on the, flip it up, there's a flap.
I don't see the thing. Anyway, it's rather hidden from me. I couldn't find it yesterday either.
Yeah, see here.
Anyway,
it's this one. I don't know. Here it is.
Oh, it's under the flap. I yeah. See these got two flaps on it. Before they just had the other. So it says that you text the word kindness to 51555. That's probably the easiest way to do it. And if you don't know how to do that, ask your kids or grandkids. I can find it. Okay, so that's the way it works, and I'd like to thank you once again for your generosity, a beautiful way of entering into this Lenten season. And please do not put this in the collection. The collection is for the parish. I repeat, because a lot of times one or two appear, don't put it in the collection. It complicates things. That gets put in a bag and sealed, and that goes into the parish safe and so on, and I'll be leaving today. So if you just put that, either you give it to me after Mass or you mail it. Okay? So let us now then stand to recite the Intercession. This is practically deductible. You will get the tax receipt returned afterwards for your donation.